Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Boy, Jesus modeled that. Satan was the opposite of that.
Pastor Brett Metter, with this assuring promise of Scripture, humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up.
Isaiah 57, verse 15, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. What's that? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Proverbs 16:18 warns that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pastor Brett Metter says it's no wonder that the sins of pride and a haughty spirit are ones that will hasten the coming of end times. On today's Word, we'll continue a prophecy update, identifying the many forms of man's prideful attitudes of today that will define the last days as well.
James chapter 4, verse 6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride is the quintessential human sin. We think we can be our own gods and we're prideful of everything we think, Genesis 3:5 says. And we do that which is right in our own eyes. That's what we're prideful about, Judges 21:25 declares. The pride movement, Pride Month, June, lends to commend itself for having the truth, even though they're believing a lie. This is what we're seeing, and these are evidences of the last days. Remember how much pride is in the days of Noah? The days of Lot are marked with pride on all levels. 2 Corinthians talks about how they think they're the ones with the truth, but they're really just believing a lie. 2 Corinthians 10:12. This is what the Bible says, and also a measurement of the last days that we're living. John chapter 3, Jesus said in John 3, 19 through 21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or made known, that they are wrought in God. This will happen, by the way, this ultimate fulfillment of this verse will happen ultimately during the tribulation, if you didn't know that. But notice it says, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But not only that, the second component here in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The world doesn't want to come into the light because they know their sins are bad. This is the problem. People are prideful and they say, I'm a good person and humanity is basically good. But in the last days, this will be even more rampant. People won't want to come into the light because their deeds are going to be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot, and they're going to be filled with pride. And the sin of pride, which was the number one sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was also homosexuality and all that, we're just seeing Sodom and Gomorrah revisited today. CBS News 2025 Pride celebrations go ahead despite corporate exodus, but organizers say it won't be easy. This article says the architects of Pride celebrations across the United States met six-figure challenges this year owing to a corporate exodus in the spring that diminished their sponsorship funds, which they said would jeopardize the future programming of their Pride parades and all that stuff. Organizers are contending with serious budget shortfalls as Pride Month begins this June, and several reported 20 to 30% less corporate support than in the past years. Now, some of us might say, that's good. You know, you can't, you know, with a fire hose, cram this down people's throats. And that's what they did. And so Target and others are backing off. And you say, praise the Lord. Well, we could say that. But one of the ways I tend to look at these pendulum swings, good, bad, or ugly, it's really talked about in the Bible. Does anybody know the analogy that the Bible uses? Birth pains. Remember birth pains? They come like contractions and they get really intense and then they'll go away a little bit. Then they get more intense and the frequency and the intensity will, as a baby's coming. And by the way, not only did Jesus use that analogy, Paul used the same analogy. It'd be like a woman in childbirth. That's the nature of the last days, the whole end time scenario. So when I see this, I think we'll see how frequent, so we'll see how we start getting it crammed down our throats again in 1 year. 2 years, 5 years? That gives us a sense of when the rapture of the church is going to happen and the second coming of Christ. So to me, I get excited either way. But I want to now reach past Gay Pride Month a little bit, because when we think of that and the pride associated with the end times and gayness and, you know, homosexuality, I also want to say, before I move on from homosexuality, I really look largely at homosexuality as like every other sin. Is a homosexual person worse than me? Well, when it comes to my sin, nope. I sin just like they do. We're all sinners. Boy, read Romans 1, 2, right? You guys, we were there. We're all sinners. Is telling a white lie sin? Yes. Is being mean to your dog? Yes, sin. It's all sin, and it's worthy of death and hell. The difference is kicking your dog, that's sinful. Or yelling at your wife, sinful, wrong. Being angry, sinful, wrong. But in our culture, we're not only saying homosexuality is not even sinful, but we should celebrate it with pride. That's what makes homosexuality different than all the other sins. And if you do it, you'll be celebrated. You'll get the job, you'll get the raise, you'll get the promotion because you're gay. That's our culture. So that's why if you're a gay person watching this, or if you're mad at me because I'm a homophobe or whatever you want to call me, is all the names people go to, you got to understand, I really don't look at homosexual people any different than I look at myself. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. No one's righteous, not even one. We're all doomed to hell. But guess what? The Lord loves me and the Lord loves everyone so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So to believe in Christ is to say, I acknowledge my sin before Jesus, and I believe that he died on the cross for my sin, whether it's my sin of white lie or gluttony or anger or kicking the dog or being angry about my parking spot at church. Like, whatever the sin is that you're dealing with, Jesus died for that sin and you got to repent. But see, the reason why we harp on the homosexual one is because the world, Satan, has very successfully convinced the world that it's not a sin. So you can just keep doing it unrepentant, which that's what makes it dangerous, because the wage of that sin is death. And unless you repent, you're going to head to that place of eternal destruction the Bible often refers to as hell. So before you just so knee-jerk say, Brett's a homophobe and he hates gay people, I'm just going to say this, that couldn't be further from the truth. We all have the same need, it is to repent of our sin. And man, can I just tell you, I can tell you stories. We've had a lot of folks in our church who have left the homosexual lifestyle and have repented of their sin. And it's still a struggle, just like it is for all of us. A person who leaves the gay lifestyle doesn't mean they're not gonna struggle with those sins, just like it's like all of us. But we've got great stories. You know, we had one story recently where there was a couple, they came, one person left angrily, and the other person got saved and became a Christian, all on the same Sunday morning. So it makes my heart glad. I hope people do come to Athey Creek. I hope people come to our crusade in the Moda Center. I hope that gay people will come and hear the good news of the gospel. So I want to kind of give that caveat. That's a big deal. Well, Brett, then what else is there to talk about Prideful Month? Well, Prideful Month doesn't just speak of gay pride. But there's other areas of pride that are equally as bad, and they're the same as probably the days of Noah and the days of Lot as well. Let's go through a few of those. First off that list, let's talk about prideful science. Is there an arrogance, a haughtiness, and a pridefulness in science, so-called? Boy, you better believe it. With this one, I like to rewind, because if you're old like me, you remember the narrative. Remember, it was global cooling what was going to be the problem, the ice age, and science demanded that. And if you disagreed with that back in 1972, you were an idiot, and you were a science denier. Then it became global warming. That was the big deal. The whole 25% of Florida will be soon underwater. That was supposed to happen like 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And Florida's sitting there just fine. It's oh, silly me. This was broadcast 43 years ago. And yet none of that has changed. Nothing's different. And if you denied that back then, you were considered a science denier. And now I do have to say, those smoggy days, I don't miss those. I'm a fan of less pollution. And remember LA? I used to live in LA when I was a kid, and man, smog, it was horrible. You forgot what the sun looked like in California because the smog. How many guys lived down there when that was like that? Yeah, it was very bad. Now, you know, cars are like almost zero emissions for the most part, and you don't see that anymore. So that's a good thing. But if you really follow true science and not just the politics of this, here's what's actually happening. Did you see this report from Colin Ruggs, which is a scientific study group published by Science China Earth Sciences, which is kind of an interesting one. But they're saying this, Antarctica reverses trend and gains ice for the first time in decades. According to a new study published by Science China Earth Sciences, researchers say from 21 to 2023, the Arctic ice sheet saw record-breaking mass gain. Tongji University researchers say satellite gravimetry data shows that from 2011 to 2020, the Arctic ice sheet lost 142 gigatons of ice per year. That trend flipped between 2021 and 23, when the ice sheet allegedly gained about 108 gigatons of ice per year. So over several decades, it lost 142, but every year since 21, it's gaining 108 gigatons of ice per year. Most of the gains are in East Antarctica. Scientists say much of the gains are linked to precipitation patterns, which could be temporary. So what are precipitation patterns that are temporary? I call that weather. I'm not a scientist. But precipitation patterns that are not regular or could be temporary, that's what we in Oregon call rain. The Arctic ice is by just in the last few years, it's way ahead of where it was even back in those, in 2013, 2011. Skeptical science article, Ralph Cicerone, head of the National Academy, said, there are lots of things wrong with Al Gore's movie, Inconvenient Truth, if you remember that movie. And Al Gore asked him to come and explain to him what was wrong with anything he said. So they did, they got together and he said, well, the polar bears. And he says, we track scientifically polar bears and we've done that for decades. And he said, there's not a single polar bear that has died because of retreating ice. Al Gore turned to his movie producer right there on the set and said, so why did we put that in? And the movie producer said, well, it really gets people emotionally involved with the topic. That actually happened. Which reminds me of what the Bible says about arrogant science, prideful science. It reminds me of what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee, amen. Paul warned in the last days that there'd be these people going around with vain, which vain is empty, worthless babblings. Just chatted up, empty, nothing behind what they're saying. I believe in weather patterns. I believe in weekly weather patterns. I believe in seasons patterns that are, you know, four times a year. We go through the different seasons. I also believe in decade patterns. I believe in century patterns. If you study history, there were times where we were freezing, but you say, yeah, global warming. Well, I don't think so. I think that's science falsely so-called. So you got this problem, of course, with prideful science. We're seeing an arrogance and it's not panning out. I hope if you're one who's saying, Brent, that's irresponsible for you to, I'm not talking about trash in the earth. We're to be good stewards of the earth. Absolutely that. But I am talking about false science. And if you disagree with me, just look at what I'm saying. Look at what everybody said for the past 40 years on all of this. And you'll realize, wow, none of it's coming. LA should be underwater. But as it turns out, it's kind of not. So you got prideful homosexuals. You've got prideful science. But in the season of prideful month, I'd like to also bring up prideful politics. There's an arrogance just innately involved when you're into politics. That's one of the hard things to be a Christian who's humble and not arrogant or haughty. I don't even know how you survive the political arena without having that. But I just have to say, if you're strictly going with the Bible, that's not really the way of Jesus. There was no prideful. Jesus, the one autobiographical statement Jesus made of himself was, I am meek and lowly. And when he could have blasted people, when he had the right to insult people, if there's ever anybody who ever had the right to call someone a name, it would have been Jesus. But there, standing before Pontius Pilate, he didn't defend himself. He just silently took it and was meek and lowly and humble. But I believe the prideful month, we shouldn't just call it a homosexual thing. It's a political thing. It's a scientific thing. So prideful science, prideful politics. What about this one? Prideful education. Boy, the NEA, the National Education Association, I know their mission sounded great, to prepare every student to succeed in a diverse and independent world. The problem is the way they do it. The mission statement from the United States' largest teachers union, the NEA, but they're the number one supporter of LGBTQ issues. They're the number one supporter of Planned Parenthood. Should we be surprised that the NEA wants to support Black Lives Matter, that wants to dismantle the nuclear family? The reason we shouldn't be surprised is because the NEA also doesn't believe parents should have the right to train their children the way they should go. That's the school's responsibility. And if you're, what came out of a few years ago is if you're a parent that shows up to a board meeting, you're a terrorist. That's what happened to our nation. That's where we are. And the NEA loves that stuff. One term that I hate, and I see it as a very end times term, I call it sort of an oxymoron a little bit, but social justice. Social justice. Can I just say that the word justice doesn't need an adjective? Justice is justice. What is just? Well, we know that. There's only one thing really just. What is that? God. Remember we read that in Romans 3. God is just, and he is the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. But to say you have social justice, it's either justice or it's not. And the reason they had to put that in front of it to sort of say, oh, we're talking about social justice, is because it's weak, to say the least. Social justice is not biblical justice, for the record. In fact, they're kind of the opposite. To understand social justice, we have to know that it's a tool within the critical theory framework. And we've talked about critical theory before. Critical theory basically teaches that everyone is divided into different group identities. It comes off like racism to me, if you ask that. But you have graduations of moral value of sort of critical theory. Some groups are labeled oppressors and others are labeled the oppressed. And we should change all of our construct of society based on whether you're an oppressor or the oppressed. You know, they did that in World War II. That's what Hitler did. That's what Mussolini did. That's what Karl Marx was wanting to do. And who does that? A bunch of very arrogant, prideful people. And guess what? The NEA is very much into social justice that way. And so this is pride in an end times kind of way. I'm just wanting you to know. Now, as we start to wrap this idea of all the different prides, I got one more, I think, we've talked about, you know, prideful science, prideful education, prideful politics. But before I give you the last one, I want to remind you, what was Satan's sin that got him kicked out of heaven? It was pride. That should be kind of an important deal for us. You know, when he fell from heaven, he desired to be God, not a servant of God. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, notice this. He's going to say these I will statements. Check how many times he says, I will do this and I will do that. This is all prideful arrogance. This is what got him booted out of heaven, pushed out of heaven. He says in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And then he goes on, for thou hast said in thine heart. Now note this, he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I did a topical teaching on this years ago, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, all the I will statements of Satan. And you can track them. It really tracks well with humanity and our worldview. We're just like Satan. We're not as much like Jesus. We're a little more like Satan. Preach it, Brett. Well, that leads me to my final one. Prideful Christians. You see, as I preach about pride, I see in myself the same pride that I'm preaching against. I see in us, I see in conservatism, I see in Democrats and Republicans and all of us, just a pridefulness. And even in Christianity, prideful Christians, have you heard this statement? I don't know where it came from, but the pride in others I can see easily, but praise God, there's none in me. Boy, that is a little spooky. We smile at this statement because we realize how true it is. Pride is said to be the only disease that others can spot except the one who is contaminated by it. And you and I as Christians, we could rock, well, those people, those scientists, those teachers, and those gays and lesbians and LGBT, like we can be really prideful in and of ourselves, equally sinful in our pride if we're not careful. The Bible doesn't delineate between those that are just people who are engaging in prideful. What does the Bible say? Well, let me just do a quick reminder. I already mentioned this one, James 4:6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does Obadiah 3 says? The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Those who are prideful are also deceived. Be careful, Christians. The Bible warns in the last days that even the very elect might be what? Deceived. So if you're a Christian Bible prophecy buff who loves to study the Bible, I know the Bible and I know the end times. Be careful, you just might be as deceived as everybody else. There's a lot of Bible prophecy people that are deceived. Do you know that? I just want to tell you, we're not the ones. We've got it down. And if we're saying that and we're prideful about it, we might just be the wrong ones. Man, this is spooky if you ask me. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Boy, Jesus modeled that. Satan was the opposite of that. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Boy, if there's anybody who should be prideful, it's God himself. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. What's that? The Lord is near to the one who's of a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So this idea of pride, be careful, Christian. Be careful. We've got to really approach this. And there's probably a bit of pride when I talk about the Bible and what I know and what I see is wrong with the world. It's really hard to talk about that without kind of having a sense of arrogance, like we're the right ones and they're the wrong ones. And so we have to kind of reevaluate, say, Lord, would you help us to be like you, your son, Jesus, who is perfect, meek and lowly, humble in heart. And by the way, you know, the gospel for you to become a Christian at the very beginning requires you to humble yourself. If you're a proud scientist, a prideful teacher, if you're a prideful Christian, you still got to humble yourself. We all have to humble. And to become a Christian, saved by his grace, you got to put down your pride, be humble, and repent of your sins. And the Bible says if you repent, say, Lord, my sins, I acknowledge them before you that I'm a sinful, prideful person. And you acknowledge that before God and repent. And then you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross and rose from the grave. If you confess that with your mouth and believe that in your heart, the Bible says you will be saved.
Pastor Brett Metter drawing to a close this prophecy update called Prideful Month with a heartfelt call to humility before the Lord on today's word. And I trust you'll stay right there as Pastor Brett will return in just a moment to lead us in a prayer of victory over pridefulness. But first, today's word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. Our vision on today's word is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. If you've missed any portion of this message, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. Well, now to close our time together in prayer, here once again is Pastor Brett Metter.
Lord, as we close this prophecy update, Lord, so much we could talk about, but we see so much that your word identifies as wrong and evil in this world. But at the same time, Lord, we acknowledge that we are wrong and evil. We have prideful tendencies, and it's just part of our sinful human nature. Would you forgive us, Lord, for our prideful, arrogant attitudes? Help us to talk about politics. Help us to talk about our faith and the things we believe, but help us to do it with a spirit of meekness, with an attitude of humility, Lord. Help us to balance that perfectly. We see you did it, so help us to become more like your son, Jesus. Bless these, your people, Lord, as we get closer to the day. We believe, Lord, that these are evidences that your coming is soon. The rapture of the church, we believe, could be tomorrow, today. So make us ready for that. Bless these who've taken the time to consider your word in these matters. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter on today's Word. And that's all the time we have. I hope you can be back as Pastor Brett illustrates how Psalm 23 invites us to reflect on Christ's selfless love for all of us. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.